Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. Welcome to the September 26, 2019 Quadcast. Let's jump right in. First up, take a SIB. In the thorax, attempts at radiation dose escalation have fallen flat. When it comes to esophageal cancer, you should be able to quote to the radiation haters out there that most deaths in the dose escalating arm of intergroup 0123 occurred before those patients even made it to 50.4 gray. While the cardiac and pulmonary effects of conventional radiation fields are well recognized, it remains to be seen if more sophisticated planning techniques and potentially more sophisticated modalities can allow for dose escalation without escalation in toxicity. In this phase 1-2 trial from MD Anderson, as published in JAMA Oncology 2019 by Chen, 46 patients receiving definitive chemoradiation for esophageal squamous cell or adenocarcinoma received dose-escalated radiation via a simultaneous integrated boost. The clinical target was the esophageal gross tumor plus 3 centimeters in the superior and inferior direction and a 1 centimeter expansion radially, and it included a 5 millimeter expansion around involved lymph nodes. The final planning target margin was 5 millimeters and received 1.8 gray times 28 fractions for a total of 50.4 gray. The SIB target was gross tumor plus 3 millimeters circumferentially, and it received 2.25 gray times 28 fractions for a total of 63 gray. Treatment was delivered using either intensity modulated photons or protons. There were no grade 4 or 5 toxicities, and most grade 3 toxicities were esophageal. The in-field local control was 70% at 1 year, which fell short of the optimistic primary endpoint of an improvement from 70 to 85%. So what's the bottom line? Simultaneous integrated boost during definitive chemoradiation for esophageal cancer may offer a way to safely dose escalate. Up second, cost neutrality. Who doesn't have a proton center these days? What used to be a sparsely available treatment with referrals reserved for cases with the most obvious benefit has become the latest fixture for centers looking to put out a new billboard campaign. Who's been getting proton treatments in droves with this recent rise in proton centers? Patients insured by Medicare, of course. Enter the Radiation Oncology Alternative Payment Model, promising to bundle payments in a manner blinded to treatment modality, turning a cold shoulder to the fact that it costs centers 2 to 3 times more to deliver protons compared to photons. Having served a large catchment area with a single proton gantry in the early days of their proton center, the University of Maryland is ahead of the APM curve by pioneering a cost-neutral clinical benefit score, also known as CBS, with a goal of prioritizing patients for protons based on, who would have thought, clinical indications rather than an ability to pay. These indications consider disease site, retreatment, organs at risk dosimetry, and protocol enrollment. The bottom line is, with the ability to pay now being a no pretty much across the board, a tool such as the clinical benefit score may be a helpful tool in deciding who should and who should not receive proton therapy. Thanks to Sharma, Curious, 2019. Up next,
I want it that away.
Cells with deficiencies in homologous recombination, such as BRCA mutations, rely heavily on other, more error-prone methods of DNA repair, such as the one mediated by polymerase theta. Novel targeted CRISPR screening revealed 140 genes that, when lost, also make a cell heavily reliant on and or addicted to this error-prone polymerase theta pathway. Not only that, 30% of breast cancers in the cancer genome Atlas harbored these polymerase theta addicted genes. In other words, polymerase theta inhibition may be the new PARP inhibition, thanks to the FANG publication in Nature Communications 2019. Finally, size doesn't matter. Don't tell Texas. Size doesn't matter, at least not as a surrogate endpoint for overall survival. This pooled analysis by Berzikowski in JAMA Network Open 2019 of 20 clinical trials shows that neither size of nor time to tumor response correlates well with subsequent survival outcomes, with the waters especially muddied by anti-angiogenic agents. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.